I want to start with encounter. Pam Main, I'm going to have her come up here. Pam, if you'll come up here. She had an angelic encounter. And she texted me last night and said she wanted to share it after service with me today. And I was up. I said, just call me. And I was able to interpret part of that encounter for her. But it just so happens that fit into today and what the Lord wants to do today. And so I'm going to have her share what happened.
It was really cool, you guys. The Lord allowed me to see this angel come into my room in the middle of the night and minister to me. And what had happened, it was quick. It wasn't much, but I was sleeping, and I saw, with my eyes closed, of course, a light in the room. And I thought, what is that? You know, so it was on my right side. And I turned over and looked at it, and it moved. It dimmed down in brightness, and it moved behind me, back behind my right shoulder. And I looked at it. I actually turned my head and looked at it and saw the light still there in a dimmer intensity, and I was at peace. I wasn't worried about it. I said, okay, fine, I'm going to go back to sleep. I went back to sleep, and then I said, wait a minute. Is that a light coming from the alarm clock? Because I have an alarm clock that sits, you know, right here at my right side on top of a chest of drawers. So I looked again to make sure it wasn't the alarm clock light, because I keep a small towel over the alarm clock light at night so it's not lighting up the room. And I looked and I said, no, it's not from the light, not from the alarm. Looked at the window, not from the window. It was still there, glowing in a dimmer intensity. I said, oh, well, okay. I was at total peace. I went back to sleep. And a couple minutes later, I saw the light again. It moved around and came right here, right up next to me. Bright, so bright and intense. It was like someone would take a flashlight and shine it on your face when your eyes are closed, you know? That's what it was like. It was that bright and intense. And I slowly came up out of my sleep. And I said, all right, I have to look and see what this is. And he allowed me to see the hand of the angel. His hand was just exactly like this. All of his fingers were together. His hand was straight out. It was right here in front of my face, right in front of me. I looked at his hand. I saw the fingers. I saw the you know, lines between the fingers in the hand. I saw the knuckles on the hand, the complete hand. It was white, bright white, but not glowing or beaming coming off of it, but just white light, like the white intensity of a man's shirt, you know? But it was just amazing. And then after that, he was holding something. And I knew what he was ministering to me, he was doing something with what he was holding in that hand. That's all I knew, is I had a knowing that he was doing something. And when I came to full consciousness, after I looked at the hand, I saw that he was holding a box, and the box, when I came to consciousness, the box totally collapsed. All of the four sides went in. They sucked into themselves. Each four sides, the bottom, it all like sucked right up into itself, and the lid went down on it, and I heard a just like that, identical sound. And I knew that was the lid slamming down on it. And then I was fully conscious, and he was gone. The light was gone. It was over. And so I asked Pastor, we were discussing it, and okay. And he told me, I think it had to do, I really felt like it had to do with, and the pastor agreed, with Wednesday night here. The anointing was really strong Wednesday night. And when Pastor Anna and LaRue ministered together, which they usually don't, but he had her go with him and her lay hands on everyone's stomach on Wednesday night. The anointing was so intense. It was so powerful with both of them this time. And I didn't get to tell you guys what I saw is by the Spirit, when you guys were ministering, that anointing was one. It you know, like the word says, when we're married, we are one. That anointing truly was one, only one stream, but it was amped up, higher output because it was both of you. And man, I went down, and I usually don't go down. And I laid on that floor for a long time. You know, I just said, I'm going to stay here. I wasn't unconscious. I wasn't slain in the spirit. It was kind of like I went in and out kind of thing of a heavy sleep dozing thing, you know. And then that night, it was either, I can't remember actually, either that night, Wednesday night or Thursday night, in the middle of the night, the Lord told me, pray for unworthiness. I've been asking him to break this unworthiness off of me. I knew it was there. I've been praying before, you know, did the whole thing, broke the soul ties, you know, applied the blood, prayed for a long time, but it wouldn't go. I knew it was from my father's bloodline, from my father's side of the family, and the Lord just said, woke me up in the middle of the night, very nonchalantly, pray for unworthiness. So I stayed in the bed. I didn't get out of bed. I just started praying. I started decreeing. I repented. I applied the blood and went back to sleep. And so I think Pastor was saying that, oh, okay, about that. So those are the two things that happened around that encounter. And then let him tell you what he perceived.
Let's give the Lord a hand for that. Hallelujah. As soon as I heard that that angel holding that box and that box concaved into itself, I immediately understood that the box of unworthiness that was holding her in a box, it was not allowing her to release and be liberated into the fullness of God. That box completely was obliterated and removed, and that's why it caved in. It broke all the walls down. And immediately the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me, and he said, this is what I'm going to do in the entire body. I'm going to break every wall down that's causing my people and keeping them from releasing. Sometimes you just can't know. Sometimes you'll know what you... Troy, it's interesting she mentioned generational, because Josh, he had a vision, a generational dream of this generational car. It was a classic car that was going down, and this eagle came down, and they had rats in the car, and the eagle came down and was removing the rats out of the car. The car represented the generational, the ministry, but generational issues was keeping it, and this eagle swooped down and went, whoosh. Now, I want to share today around the spirit of unworthiness, the stronghold of unworthiness, but I want to say something before I do this. I can't tell you what all happened this morning, but I had a massive encounter with the Lord too around a generational issue that I didn't know what it was. All I will tell you at this point was a knot came up out of my, it felt like in my spirit, and it was this knot, and he completely obliterated it. The power was so intense. And the Spirit of the Lord said, this is what's locking my kingdom from flowing. Not only in you, but my people, they don't understand what's blocking the flow of the kingdom. These things are bypassed under a gift realm anointing, but under the glory realm, nothing is bypassed. He said, everything and every gate and door must be properly open going in and properly open going out. There's three major things that are going to block the entrance and exit of the kingdom of God out of you. The inflow and the outflow of the kingdom are three major things. One is habitual sin. There are levels of sin and operations of sin. I was caught up into the glory. I'm not going to say too much about this, but last week I was caught up in the glory. There are sins that are more dangerous than others. One flesh sins, fornication, adultery, sins with yourself, these kinds of sins cause a one flesh arrangement that will block the union of God. You will not be able to enter in full union with the Lord with this kind of, you have to break the one flesh arrangement. And then habitual sin in general. But habitual sin can be dealt with at the throne of grace. The one flesh thing can be dealt with at the throne of grace, but you have to have the one flesh cord broken. Because if it's not broken, there are spirits that have legal access. Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 6. Every sin done without the body is one thing, but a sin done in the body is different. He goes, because the two become one flesh, know you not that you've been joined to the Lord, see, and it blocks the union. That has to be dealt with. That one flesh arrangement has to be broken. You can call it a soul tie, but sometimes it's more than that. Before that's broken, because you won't be able to consistently enter into union in the level of glory up there, that union part. You'll get blocked. You'll get blocked out. You don't know why you're getting blocked out. Sin, habitual sin, it's one area. Second area is trespass. Trespass is residual unforgiveness that's locked up in the soul. You've forgiven, you know, you've forgiven with your mind, you've forgiven with your desire. But sometimes these are spiritual things when you were betrayed. Sometimes it happened to you as a spiritual entity that was involved, and it creates a trespass, and that has to be broken in the spirit. I have a whole series on that, how to break a trespass. That's why he even added it into the Lord's Prayer. He said, if you have a trespass against any, you must forgive that trespass. Father, forgive us of our trespasses. Trespasses will block the flow of the kingdom of God. It's a major, major assignment of the enemy against our life. You don't know why you're struggling. You don't even know why you backslide at times. You don't know why you can't even get back where you were, because there's a trespass. And even though you said, I forgive this person, you don't understand what could have happened with that person. Could have been done by a spirit, and that spirit entered in and took a grip within your soul. And that has to be addressed. That level of trespass has to be addressed in the realm of the spirit. You can do this at the throne of grace. You can do it in Sozo. We have all the kind of tools to get this loosed from you, but you got to get loosed from a trespass. The way you'll know your trespass is you'll always have an issue with that person. Whenever their name's brought up, it's just there. If you saw that person in public, you'd be very, very uncomfortable around them. It's because there's a trespass there. God's love can wash any trespass, no matter what the level. Amen? He can wash it away. Has to be addressed. The other one, the one I want to talk to you about today, is unworthiness. Unworthiness is a major thief. It comes in many forms. It starts early in life. It can come through rejection and come through betrayal. It can come through abuse. All manner of abuse, verbal abuse, sexual abuse, physical abuse. And what happens, the soul of a child will get locked into a state of rejection. The rejection will order an insecurity and unworthiness in that person's life. And when you get to God immediately, you know, you start walking with God. He loves you. You love him. But entering into the kingdom is a different level. Entering into the depths of Christ is a different level. And most certain, a lot of times when you're going in, the enemy will remind that untransformed part of your soul that got integrated either by words, people just harshly spoke words over you, abuse, betrayal, whatever the case, that unworthiness, when it's set in, it's a thief. And more times than not, I'll block you from entering in. The number one thing you have to understand, and the Father absolutely requires it, you must believe that you're worthy to be in the depths of God. That you're worthy to dwell in the depths of God. Some of you in here don't struggle with that at all. Some struggle greatly with that. And because of that, it'll block your entrance, and it'll block you from going higher, because you don't believe you're worthy to sit there. And that unworthiness has to be shattered and broken down. And you do that by understanding who you are. You do that by understanding the truth of God's word. You do that through Sozo. You can do that, but you're also going to have to apply the truth, because when you're moving in these areas, the enemy's going to constantly remind you. And sometimes there's strongholds built there, and those strongholds will rise up. And when they rise up, they'll, as a thief, try to steal. You cannot even imagine right now. I can't even imagine how much is in that place. The glory, the depth, and the power of God's, the Father's love that's going on inside that place is just amazing. So I want to share into the thing of unworthiness today. And I believe the Lord is going to set some people free today of this. There's a lot of power going on up there. Amen. There are things that survive preachers. Because we preach under an anointing, we live under anointing because of the gift realm, we'll get up here with all of our issues, but the anointing will be on us. And that's what people can't understand, is how can God anoint that person when I know those issues are in them? Because that's the nature of the anointing. He bypasses us. That's the way he does it in the gift realm. He anointed the Corinthian church. They were the most carnal of all churches. And that was the ones that got the gifts and the administrations and the government of God. And they were the most carnal of all. You should just read the first book of Corinthians. Every chapter he's dealing with another issue of their carnality. Another issue that they had. And yet he anointed them. If God didn't anoint carnal people, there wouldn't be much of a church. This is not perfection, takes time. You got to climb up into God. You go into the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, but then you go up into the mountain where the Father dwells in the mountain. It's like you're going up into the mountain. All the goodies, everybody wants the deep resonating glory, the honey presence, wisdom's house, the kingdom realm, the tree of life, the Father's great love and the glory. All that's up in the mountain. Amen. And the enemy's going to try with all that he can to stop your progression and steal your access so you don't ever go into this place to know how glorious it is and how powerful it is. In one session, it can take apart an entire generational issue. The enemy's been working on you with generational stuff. It's been with the family and he's working it up and he's been with you 30, 40 years. In one session, he can decimate it in the glory and power of God. What he was dealing with me this morning wasn't unworthy. This was something else. And I couldn't even believe it was there. Like a big knot. I'm like, dear Lord, I've been ministering so long. He says, all my ministers have this. If they didn't, they'd be walking with me in fullness. Because the result of tearing down things like that is an anointing to operate out of this place. Go to Ephesians 1. We're moving quickly into the days of mass demonstration. You can't live in that place and not bring it back. This is so glorious. If I could, I would just grab you and take you in there. All I can do is scream at you every Sunday and every Wednesday. I'm undone at the level of power that flows in that place. The Father's love. The depth in which he can surgically remove something. I mean, do you think you're going to be on an operating table for a week and you're preaching an hour and a half later? The depths in which he can surgically remove something the enemy's working on you for generations, been working it in your family, working it through you, and God surgically removes the thing to where it's no more a part of your generation ever again. It doesn't pass down and you don't retain it anymore. It is finished. And you didn't even know that's what was going to happen that day. You don't know what goes on in there until you get in there. There's no possible way to understand the spontaneity of God that goes on in every one of those levels. You're going to see it manifest. We're going to see the fullness of God's glory manifest in this church, in your home, in your family. He's going to make you so rounded and so complete and so whole. And so we're not going to be ministering the anointing and broken inside. We're going to become whole. Our families are going to be whole. Our finances are going to be whole. Our bodies are going to be whole. Our mind, power, love, and of a sound mind. We're going to be whole people walking around in wholeness with God. Walking around with the tree of life manifesting in us. Walking around as heirs, not unworthy orphans. Ephesians 1, 3. Blessed be the Lord, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he's chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. Now look at this. He's chosen you. You're going to have to renew the belief system, to sit in that place, that we should be holy, saved holy, and without blame before him in love. Holy and without blame. You've got to understand the day, the seconds you walk through that door, you're being found in Christ now, not having your own righteousness, but that which is the righteousness of God by faith. You're entering into his standing with the Father. All of your old standing goes away. You move into his standing, and all you have to do is agree with the standing he's provided. I am found in you, not having my own righteousness. It doesn't matter what I feel. What matters is I have a standing with you, and I enter in by your standing, I enter in by your grace, and today I'm holy and without blame. And when you're going in, everything in you is screaming at you, saying you're not worthy, and you say, I am holy and without blame before the Father in love, wherein he hath made me accepted in the beloved. I am accepted in the beloved. You've got to get through the door before the atmospheric thief, the generational thief, the stronghold of unworthiness stops your progression. Because it wants to keep you out of that door. You have to move through by faith. That's why I tell people, you're not always going to make it if you don't learn how to develop it by faith. You got to move in these dimensions by faith. Because faith is going to tear it down. You have to believe what he said. Even when everything in you screams, that is part of overcoming. When you start launching in there and you start feeling the past and feeling the generational issues and the enemy's reminding you of all the things you've done, all the things. See, you got to get past that. You can't give way to that and back up. Don't think he's not going to remind you of who you are or who you used to be. Say, I'm holy without blame. Having, I love this, predestinated us unto the adoption of sons. You don't understand that verse because that verse, we look adoption differently. You weren't being adopted in a family like you're being adopted into a monarchy with an inheritance. You're adopted as an heir. Not only were you adopted, you were actually adopted by blood. So you're in the bloodline, legal right bloodline of a throne. It's a whole different mindset than adopting somebody in your family. You know, some of us, we adopt somebody in your family. Hey, you're part of our family, but you're going to go get a job. When you're adopted in a monarchy, you are already given a job. You work for the crown. You work for the throne, and everything about you is fully taken care of. You already have an inheritance laid up for you. You already have a job. You work for the crown. That's why every one of us has a position with God. He says, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. That's why you got to go through the door. You got to get into Christ first. You got to get accepted. You're already positionally accepted, but you have to believe that so you can move into the acceptance. Go to Colossians real quick. I want to show you this. Amazing chapter. Colossians 1, Ephesians 1, almost identical. Verse 12, Colossians 1, he's praying, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us a meat to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated in the kingdom of his dear Son. There's a lot of power there. Verse 20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you who were sometimes alienated enemies in your mind by wicked works, have now he reconciled. Say, I'm reconciled. You've got to know you've been reconciled going in. Whatever the enemy's holding against you, he does not have the power to hold that against you. I've been reconciled to the Father. You don't have the power to hold me from this door. Well, I don't feel like it, though. Do you think that I get up every morning and just feel like climbing a mountain? I don't get feelings till I get inside. I have to have the same cup of coffee you have to have. I have to grab my flesh just like you do, and I have to throw it in there and say, you're going to go up in the mountain whether you like it or not. And as soon as I get through the door of my flesh, the feelings of my flesh go away. I'm in the spirit and I'm ready to go. But getting that part, that is what's stealing from you on a daily basis. That part can steal your inheritance if you don't watch it. It'll keep you out of his house. Blessed is the man who watches daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors to come into wisdom's house. God's house is full. Say, it's full. There's fullness there. You don't control that place. Once you get in union with Christ, he leads you where he wants you to be. We're going to experience the fullness of God. We're going to minister the fullness of God. That's what we're being trained for. It's going to come right out of that realm. Listen to this. And you had to reconcile, verse 22, in the body of his flesh, say in the body of his flesh, to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Yet, but you don't know what I struggle with. Chances are I probably do know what you struggle with. Chances are you're probably struggling with the same thing that the person right next to you is struggling with. If God would lift the veil, or the fig leaves that we hide all our stuff with, after you got over the shock, you know, you're like, well, you know, I had that issue too. He said, I'm holy, unblameable, unreprovable. This is the word you go in with. This is the truth you go in. This is how you make it past the generational thieves, the unworthy thieves. You're armed with this truth going in. You're armed with it because chances are he's going to remind you of something. You're going to feel like you're not ready to go in there. You're like you're not supposed to be in there. You're not worthy to be in there. You'll feel sometime I can't get in there because I messed up. Join the club. That's what the throne of grace is for. That's why he has grace. Say grace. He ministrates because he's going to receive you freely. You're accepted in him. You're holy. He's going to fix you up there. Stop trying to fix yourself here. It's never going to work. You're going to keep struggling with the same thing. That's what he made me to know. He just tore that thing down. Ferocious power. He removes the things that stand between you and him. He's removing things that stand between you and the next level of your glory with him. He's after it. He's jealous. God is a jealous God. He wants it. And if you'll hang out in there, you won't have to spend 40 years in trials getting rid of it here. He'll tear it down because that's where the power's at. Pretty soon the power is going to be here. He said, tell my people when I set them free, they're going to have power to set others free. Tell them they can't set people free if they're not free themselves. Don't let pride blind you to think that you're already free. If you were free, it would be flowing out of you like a river. One of the things preachers don't want to do is ever show themselves. That's the problem. When you're in the love of God, you don't care. Because it's already melted that stuff away. You're not afraid of transparency. You're not afraid of vulnerability. You don't live behind a cloak of fear anymore because he shatters the cloak. He tears it down. And you're able to live transparent. You're able to love. You're able to see without judging. To present you holy. Say holy. He's presenting you unblameable. He's presenting you unreprovable. He's presenting you perfect every day. He's going to present you to the Father through his standing. And then the Father's love is going to do some pretty remarkable things to you. Power that's not of this earth, cannot originate in human love. A love that can tear anything down that stands in its way. A love whose force and power cannot be reckoned. The enemy can't stand up to an ounce of it. I'll give you one more, Jude 1. Whatever area you're struggling with, you've got to get the word. That's why I'm saying you can't go into this realm by emotional desire. It won't uphold you there. You don't understand. You might jump in there, fall in there. But you don't know how to go back consistently because something's got to uphold you there. An emotional desire will not uphold you in the glory. Only the truth of God's word, the truth upholds you. He upholds all things by the word of his power, see. If you go in by the word, he upholds you that way. You won't be yo-yoing. The Lord said, it's a time to be built up into me now. I'm opening every gate. To come up into where I am. This generation will experience my fullness. And he's going to hold us there. That's why you want to go in properly. You go in by the word. You make your entrance by awareness. By acknowledgement and awareness. We've taught a lot on this. You have to be armed with stuff like this if you're dealing with it. You got to know if this is an arena of your life. You got to know the enemy's going to use that. He's an atmospheric thief and he's going to stand there. Because I am the door. If by me any man hear it then, he'll be saved. He'll go in and out and find the pasture, but the thief cometh to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come that you might have life. I've come to get you and bring you to the life. The enemy's come to steal. You think what he's stealing from you here is something? Oh, you'll cry the cry of tears if you wait till you get to heaven to find out what he really stole. Because what he's really stealing, stuff that he has stole from you here, is nothing compared to what he'll steal from there. Because that place is what's going to make the difference. What's up in there, your inheritance in the light, that's what he really wants to steal. Because he has no defense for that. He has a defense here. Get over it if he's stolen from you here. Let it go. Because there is enough there. That's why Jesus would not enter into the argument with a man. That doesn't mean you shouldn't pursue something. Don't just give up on something. But if the enemy does take from you, and there's no recompense here, there's a recompense there. And we are going to be the sons of God that are going to learn how to access it. This generation is going to access the fullness of that place. When he tears down the old, that just makes you run 10 times faster, because none of that's in the way anymore. Jude 1:24. Now him that's able, say him that's able, keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory. Look at this. He's presenting you holy, unblameable, unreprovable. He's presenting you what? Faultless. Say, present me faultless. You got to know this going in. You got to believe it. That I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm holy and without blame. Yeah, but I'm not. But you are there. Do you think you're going to perfect yourself here? Is that what you think? How well has it worked for any of us? The perfection is with him. That's why he's not going to judge you going through the gates. But he does require faith. The Father requires you honor the Son. If you don't honor the Son, you're not going to get in. You have to honor what he did for you. You have to believe what he did for you. You can't come in there, Father, I'm unworthy, but I'm going to come in, you know. That is dishonoring to the Son. Because you dishonored the Son that died for you to be there, that's presenting you, Father. You've dishonored him. And the Father can't honor you because you're dishonoring the Son. He that honoreth the Son honoreth the Father. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There's no other way to get to the Father. That's why you've got to go into the rest, into union with the Son before you get to the Father. On a consistent basis. I understand when God throws you up there in grace, but grace is not going to keep you there. You understand what I just said? You can get thrown up in there. He'll grab you up and throw you up. But that won't keep you there. You have to be built up into that place. And it's worth it. You'll be amazed when you walk in there, and if you believe you're up in there and then you believe, all of a sudden it shifts. In 5 seconds, when the enemy was screaming, all of a sudden now you've just shifted through the door. You've shifted into his rest. You've shifted into him, and all of a sudden you're feeling all the goodness and all the delight and all the love. Once you learn to do that, none of that stuff will work on you anymore. The enemy is deathly afraid of people who live in this place because he has no defense for it. He can't go in there. He can't steal from you there because it's way above him. It's far above every principality and power. That's why God designed it that way. It was your escape. It was your life. It was the place you were going to live with him apart from your enemy. It was the genius of God. And God said, only have one requirement. Believe. You have faith in what the Son did. That'll get you up here. Once you get up here, we'll take over. It's genius. I'm praying that he challenges you today. I'm praying that he decimates and obliterates that box. Obliterate it, Father. Eradicate. It says to remove something completely, to eliminate, destroy something, to pull down up by the roots, to pull up by the roots, to do away with as completely as if pulling it up by the roots, as if God coming and obliterating it. He decimates it with a force that won't leave it there. You're not going to go to a halfway deliverance in that place. You got deliverance, you're still dealing with it. He tears the thing down. But then when the love of the Father kicks in, whoosh, the other part of his love, the one that builds you up, that sword, he's going to do that to you. You got to know that. You want him to do that. You don't want the stuff standing between you and God, because it's going to steal from you. There are generational thieves sent into your generations. Do you know the enemy somehow knows when a prophetic generation showed? He knew when a Moses was coming. He knew when Christ was coming. He just knew it. And he comes out and tries to slaughter all the unborn and slaughter all the two and below. He wants to slaughter to keep that birth from coming. He sent stuff in your generations because he knows this is the generation. He sent stuff up to bind your generations to it and bind you. But these days of carrying this stuff are over. Walking in church with 50 years of baggage, they're over. We have sozo and we have the right hand of God. It's enough. Say it's enough. Say it's enough. Glory to God forever.